Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Law et al. Titled, Exacerbation of Dystrophic Cardiomyopathy by Phospholamban Deficiency-Mediated Chronically Increased Cardiac Calcium Cycling in Vivo. This article was published August 17, 2018. Joining me today are Associate Editor Junichi Sadoshima, First Author Michelle Law, and Content Expert Sakthavel Sadiapan. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. This study is a very exciting and timely investigation seeking to better understand the complexity of calcium handling dysfunction in Duchenne muscular dystrophy cardiomyopathy. In particular, the study tested the hypothesis that improving intracellular calcium handling in MDX mice with cardiac-specific ablation of phospholamban would improve the cardiomyopathy phenotype. At this juncture, I'd like to congratulate Michelle Law and her mentor, Dr. Joe Metzger, for this exciting publication in the DMD field. Michelle, please tell us how you came up with the rationale for using phospholamban knockout mice to improve DMD cardiomyopathy.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the mechanisms of dystrophic cardiomyopathy are complex, to say the least, and they include both aberrant calcium handling and mechanical stress components. This leads to calcium overload, cell death, fibrosis, and eventually cardiac dilatation and decreased contractile function. Previous studies have shown that cardiac myocytes from MDX mice have increased resting calcium concentration and slowed calcium decay. The CIRCA2A calcium pump and its regulatory protein phospholamban are the major proteins involved in calcium reuptake during diastole. Phospholamban, in its dephosphorylated state, inhibits CIRCA, thereby slowing calcium decay and potentially increasing cytosolic calcium. We hypothesized in this study that improving calcium cycling through ablation of phospholamban would decrease the calcium mishandling and overload in the MDX heart and thereby slow the development of cardiomyopathy. Phospholamban is a therapeutic target of interest, and many studies using a variety of models have looked at its inhibition to improve cardiomyopathy. This is the first study that has examined phospholamban ablation in the context of dystrophic cardiomyopathy using the MDX mouse as a model.
You mentioned your hypothesis was that phospholamban ablation would improve cardiomyocyte calcium handling and thereby decrease the severity of DMD cardiomyopathy. What you found was surprising. Although calcium cycling was enhanced at the myocyte level, cardiomyopathy was clearly worsened in vivo, measured by echocardiography. Can you offer any insight into this result?
Well, yes, I can certainly try. This result was definitely unexpected, but there are some potential explanations for what we found. So as I mentioned previously, there are both calcium mishandling and mechanical stress components to DMD cardiomyopathy. Ablation of phospholamban served to enhance calcium reuptake in diastole, but on the other hand, it also eliminated the major regulator of CIRCA2A function in the heart. Without phospholamban, the CIRCA2A pump was running at full capacity, and this likely increased the amount of mechanical stress that the heart was experiencing. So the Metzger lab and other labs have shown that MDX cardiac myocytes are particularly sensitive to mechanical stress. This is because the absence of dystrophin in DMD destabilizes the sarcolemma and increases membrane fragility. Increased contractility caused by the absence of phospholamban likely increased sarcolemmal damage. In our study, we saw evidence of increased membrane fragility and membrane damage by an increase in the uptake of Evans blue dye in the hearts of MDX mice lacking phospholamban. In addition, we also saw an increase in fibrosis in these hearts, which would suggest that this membrane damage increased myocyte death and fibrotic development, ultimately leading to the exacerbated cardiomyopathy that we saw in the echocardiography experiments.
Thank you. I'm sure our listeners, along with my colleague, are fascinated with your comprehensive understanding of DMD cardiomyopathy and underlying mechanism of its onset and progression. Now I want to ask Saxi to tell us his idea about improving calcium reuptake to rescue DMD cardiomyopathy. He's obviously one of the leaders in the cardiac sarcomere.
Thank you, Jun. So I'm also very excited, as you are, to learn about the findings of Lai et al., which clearly suggests that improving calcium reuptake may in turn improve contractility. However, strikingly, double knockout mice show severe DMD cardiomyopathy. Mechanistically speaking, I think the level of calcium transients on a beat-to-beat basis regulates sarcomere contractility. So in DMD, intracellular calcium is elevated, which triggers cell death and fibrosis. So Lai et al. Hypothesized that contractility will be improved and the development of cardiomyopathy attenuated by enhancing the reuptake of calcium in cytosol. So as expected, calcium handling was enhanced, which resulted in increased contractility in the double knockout mice. Unexpectedly, however, in contrast to skeletal muscle, where calcium handling was enhanced and improved DMD phenotype in DMDX mice, cardiac muscle responded differently and was markedly worsened by magnitudes of order in dystrophic cardiomyopathy. So we can discuss a couple of things here, right? So number one, and the level of calcium in cardiac and skeletal muscles will change in response to beta-adrenergic stimulation. Secondly, constant activation of contractility from phospholamban ablation will intensify mild DMD cardiomyopathy to severe DMD cardiomyopathy. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Saxi. I know you have been working on hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in association with mutation in sarcomere genes. Do you expect to see a similar outcome when calcium handling is enhanced?
You know, my lab has been working for a long term on this field. Again, you know, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is associated with increased contractility and reduced myofilament calcium sensitivity at baseline condition, meaning that sarcomeres need more calcium to attain half maximal force compared to controls. However, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy results from defects in the structural and functional aspect of the sarcomere. So without fixing the basic defects in the sarcomere, it would be impossible to rescue hypertrophic cardiomyopathy by enhancing calcium transients. Professor Litsa Kranias at University of Cincinnati, an expert in the phospholamban protein that regulates the calcium pump in cardiac muscle, published a 2003 paper and reported that phospholamban ablation does not prevent ventricular failure in genetic cardiomyopathy.
Excellent. Thank you, Saxi, for reviewing the literature and helping us understand molecular mechanism of cardiomyopathy. I'm going back to Michelle now. So based upon your studies, instead of finding that beneficial effects resulted from enhancement of calcium handling in MDX mice, we see the onset of severe cardiomyopathy. Can you comment on the potential implications of this study has for patients with DMD?
Certainly. Cardiomyopathy in DMD patients contributes significantly to both decreased quality of life and also increased mortality. So therefore, improving cardiac function in these patients is of great interest to the scientific and the medical communities. Previous studies have found that upregulation of circa expression in skeletal muscle improves calcium handling and also has beneficial effects on skeletal muscle pathophysiology in mouse models of muscular dystrophy. In contrast, our study shows that improved calcium handling in the heart via phospholamban ablation did not confer such benefits. So the difference in the outcomes of improving calcium handling between these two different muscle types, between skeletal muscle and cardiac muscle, is important to consider as we seek to develop therapies for DMD. Therapies that are ideal for skeletal muscle may or may not be ideal for cardiac muscle. One thing to note is that in our study, we did not look at the effects of small increases in CIRCA2A activity in the heart. Phospholamban ablation maximally activated CIRCA, and whether smaller increases in CIRCA activity would yield different outcomes is something that will need to be explored in future studies.
Thank you, Michelle. What are the implications of your study outcome?
Overall, this study shows that enhancing calcium handling in the heart through phospholamban ablation exacerbates the development and progression of cardiomyopathy in MDX mice. Unregulated and maximal activation of CIRCA in the context of increased membrane fragility due to the absence of dystrophin, increased membrane damage, and accelerated myocyte death and fibrosis development. This ultimately led to more severe dilation and decreased systolic function and diastolic function in vivo. This study is important as it shows us that increased calcium handling in the cardiac muscle can increase sarcolemmal stress and damage in the absence of the membrane stabilizing protein dystrophin. So future work should focus on correcting both the calcium mishandling and membrane fragility components simultaneously in the dystrophic heart.
Michelle, thank you for publishing AJP Heart. Sakthi, I want to thank you for joining us today to talk about this exciting study. Have a wonderful day. Back to Cara now.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.